Johannes Jima from the Texas Agricultural AgriLife Research.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. At Texas A&M University in the Hydropetrology Research Group, we have been working on trying to improve the representation of soil knowledge in the land surface model. Particularly, we are looking at the NOAA-MP model. And the soil knowledge is basic soil physical properties and soil water processes. For this project, we collected a number of data and we analyzed those data, and the NOAA-MP model code was modified. So a number of people involved in this project from the Texas A&M University, from NCAR, and from TCEQ, Texas Commission on Environmental Quality. To give you some background, we use the land surface models to simulate the water and energy flux at the land atmosphere boundary. Important land surface variables like sensible heat, latent heat, infiltration, soil moisture, surface runoff, evapotranspiration, all of them are an important lower boundary condition for the atmospheric model. So the atmospheric models, they need this land surface modeling outputs for a better prediction of atmospheric variables like surface temperature or wind speed. For example, surface sensibility and latent heat fluxes, they are an important input for the WRF atmospheric model. WRF is Weather Research Forecast Atmospheric Model. So when we couple the land surface model with the atmospheric model, we would have a better prediction of, for example, surface temperature. This is in Southern Great Plain. And also we will have a better prediction of, for example, wind speed. So the TCEQ fund this project because they want to model the pollution transport and dust transport in the state. And for that, they need a good atmospheric model, good atmospheric prediction. And that atmospheric prediction, it needs good land surface modeling output. And that land surface modeling output, it requires a good soil information. So we need to have a good soil moisture, for example. If we don't have a good soil moisture, there's a study here in Kentucky. We would have the trajectory of the air pollution would end up either here or there. So soil is, it's a central component of these land surface models. But there are limitations. This land surface model, they have thousands of user base, but their representation of the soil system is relatively poor. For example, the model uses a lookup table for important soil properties, and the values, they were not representative, at least for Texas soils. What it does is the model needs the soil information. Usually that soil information is, it's a map of soil textural class. For each soil textural class, there is an associated soil physical properties and processes in a lookup table. For example, for the loamy sand soil, there is field capacity, permanent wilting point, porosity, etc. But those values in the lookup table that has been used for the last 20 to 30 years, they are not as accurate that we want them to be. So what we did was we collected more than 6,700 soil samples. We compiled them from NRCS and from Texas Soil Characterization Database and create our own lookup table. And that lookup table, for example, it was significantly different compared to the previous lookup table. Here we have the field capacity and permanent wilting point. Default is the one that has been used for the last 20 years. The revised is the one we revised for Texas soils. You can see that, for example, for the field capacity, on the x-axis we have the soil textural class. For the field capacity, for the coarser textural soils, the default soil parameter lookup table over-predicted the field capacity, whereas for the finer texture soil, the default lookup table under-predicted the permanent wilting point. For example, for the clay, permanent wilting point is on average 0.13, but I don't know any clay which has a permanent wilting point of 0.13. We found about 0.28. That results a difference in plant available water. There's a significant difference in the plant available water between the two lookup tables. That affects the stress for transpiration and also for direct evaporation, which affects the surface energy partitioning. The other limitation, I think the most important limitation, was the model assumes a 2-meter deep soil texture. Just take the surface soil texture and it considers that soil texture exists throughout the 2-meter soil profile. And as a soil scientist, we know that it's not true. What we did was, with the help from NCAR scientists, we update the NOAA-MP model code to be able to accept vertical heterogeneous soil profile. So usually we are running this model in a larger scale, in a 2D scale. This is for Texas, part of Oklahoma, and we have also Mexico. For this, for today's presentation, we also run the model in a 1D at three USCRN sites, United States Climate Reference Network sites. We have a weather data there. We have soil text, soil data, vegetation data, and also soil moisture data for validation. Just to give you some idea about those sites, we'll see the two sites in the east. At central, we have Central Texas, which has a shallow soil. It's only 0.3 meter deep clay soil. Previously, the model would have assumed it has a 2 meter deep clay soil. And in the east, we have East Texas clay pan. We have a loamy sand below. We have a sandy clay loam soil. But previously, like I said, it would assume a loamy sand soil throughout the 2 meter soil profile. So our simulations, we have two simulations. The first one is using the default soil parameter table and considering a uniform 2 meter deep soil, which is the current practice. And the second one, it's our after our involvement by having a revised soil parameter table and considering vertical soil heterogeneity. And we'll be looking at the effects on the water balance, on the energy partitioning, and on the soil water content at those two sites, East Texas and Central Texas. When we see the change in the water budget balance, we can see that we have here default plus homogeneous, the second for revised plus heterogeneous. On the y-axis, we have the total water in millimeter. We can see that the water balance, it varies from soil to another soil. If we just see, for example, for transpiration and direct evaporation, you can see that there is a significant change in evapotranspiration based on the type of soil information we are using. For example, here we have a shallow soil profile that does transpiration. It's very small compared to considering a 2 meter deep clay soil. So that difference in the water balance also affects the energy partitioning. This is a latent versus sensible heat flux. On the x-axis, we have the total sensible heat. It's the surface heat used for temperature change. And on the y, we have latent heat for phase change. So you can see that based on the soil information, we would have different scatter plots. It's just showing this scatter plot only to the meteorologist. That's really helpful. It shows that soil is it's critical component of those models. And that difference depends on the weather. On the left, we have for the wet months. During the dry months, soil information wasn't really that important. The next, this is for Central Texas, when we have a shallow soil, only 0.3 meter deep soil. Both during the wet and during the dry, there was a slight difference in our graphs. During the dry months, for example, there's only 0.3 meter deep clay. So if it's dry, that's in August, there was no water, so the latent heat was almost zero. We also see the soil water content for the top 1 meter. It's in the East Texas. When we have the revised plus heterogeneous soil profile, which is unimproved soil information, we had a relatively better prediction of soil moisture content. We are not expected to get a perfect fit with the measurement because the model has some limitations. Some of the equation in the model has limitations. At the same time, the measurement has also some uncertainties. For that, what we did was we also used another biophysical model, a relatively better model, which is a regional water quality model. And we give the same weather information, soil information, vegetation information. So if we overlay it, when we have a default plus homogeneous soil profile for the two models, the difference was significant. The difference in their estimation of the soil water content was significant. But by just improving the soil information only, we didn't do anything. It's just we didn't calibrate, but we give a better soil information. The NOAA-MP model, the land surface model, was able to predict the soil moisture similar to that of the Ruzon water quality model. We are happy to see these results at this time. In summary, by using better soil information and representation, We had an improved water and energy flux simulation. The effect of soil information on the new IMP model output, it depends on both weather and also soil type. Soil water content simulation by different models, even if their equation is different, their numerics is different, they were able when we use improved soil information, the soil moisture simulation was comparable for the two models. As a bigger goal, we need to have a continuous communication between soil scientists and modelers. This land surface model, there are only few soil scientists in those modeling community. Soil scientists, we need to continue our measurements, field measurements, and also we need to work on our mappings. We need to provide hydrologists and land surface models a better map than the one we currently have. At the same time, modelers need to update the physics of most of the equation, because most of the equations, most of the models currently, they are not able to capture the soil information we have. So we need to meet in a halfway. With that, thank you very much. Currently, we are running the 1D. The result I showed was 1D, so it's just a point measurement. But for the 2D, usually people have been using for 12 kilometer, 4 kilometer. We are running at 1 kilometer, which is very close.
My next question is, if that is the case, how do you allow for the spatial variability of the information and
that scale? That's a good question. That's one thing we are working on, is to look at how does a horizontal grid size affect the modeling output. We haven't yet started working on that. We are working. Can we do what?
Can it be done?
No, the thing is, one of the questions is, at what spatial scale is soil information important? If it's at field scale, we know that's very important. You need to have a good field capacity, permanent melting point, all the physical properties. But if you are, for example, running in a national scale, maybe the soil information may not be that important. So, we have to look into it. Maybe next year. That's a good question. So our base was, if we have a good simulation of the soil moisture content, then the latency would be relatively better. That's what we are saying. And
but you showed the plot sensible versus the latency before and after the correction. How do you know which one is
what? Yeah, it just shows only the difference. But the reason why quality model also has a latent versus sensible heat model output, so we plan to use that reason why quality model for our comparison. But yeah, you need to have measurement. But if we simulate the soil moisture well, then we're expecting the latent and sensibility would be a little bit. Okay.
Last question.
What was the base for the revision for soil parameters? So you said you revised the soil parameters, and how did you do that?
So from NRCs. From the NRCs, and there's also a soil data from Texas Soil Characterization database. So those are the source for our soil information.
Is it a soil database?
Yeah, it's a soil database.
So could you immediately feed the model data to some major data, like for example the satellite soil moisture, to get the true value for all the soil parameters?
I don't understand. Can you repeat?
Couldn't you use like inverse solution, like to feed the model's output to some major surface water content data, like satellite water content data?
Yeah, the result I showed was for a 1D, and we compared with measurements from the CRN sites, US CRN sites. They have measurement up to 1 meter deep, so yeah, we use measurements. But for the 2D, yeah, you may use the satellite data. All
right. Okay, thank you very much again.